would, bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you say to the Lord, Lord, to speak to my heart today through the rest of the service to draw me closer to you. Would you say that? As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, say, Lord, speak to my heart through the rest of the service and draw me closer to you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, there's a cheer that I'm somewhat familiar with. I'm not sure where I've heard this exactly, but at sporting events, the cheerleaders yell out something like this, like, what time is it? And then people respond back. The crowd is supposed to respond back. It's such and such time. Like if you're South Harrison, it's Hawks time. Or if you're a Steelers fan, it's Steelers time. Or if you're Liberty, it's Mountaineer time. Or if it's Bridgeport, it's the Indians time. Or the RCB, the Eagles time. So I want you to think for just a moment, who is your sports team, okay? So I'm going to say, what time is it? And you're going to respond, it's, and then fill in the blank of your team, time. Okay, everybody got that? Okay, it's not rocket science. You got that? Okay, what time is it? Okay, that was pretty good. Filling in your favorite team didn't do too bad. I know there was a commentator down in Tennessee. We were down in Tennessee for over 8 years in Chattanooga. And he was known on football Saturdays to say something like this. It's football time in Tennessee. You know, we know what time we're in right now, don't we? It's Christmas time. You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, somewhere around 4 B.C., actually, was when he was born. You know, it was much more than just Christmas time, can I tell you? When Jesus was born, guess what? It was exactly the right time for Jesus to come to this earth. That's what we're going to talk about briefly. Time at exactly the right time. If you would turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. You know, I was thinking about time. I have on my wrist a watch. Now, for some of y'all, that's old-fashioned, right? You don't even have a watch. All my watch does is tell me the time. It might be a little bit of a stopwatch if I wanted to do that, if I could figure out how to get it to that. It doesn't tell me a whole lot. Y'all got watches sometimes, Apple watches that give you the weather and can tell you when you got a text. And in addition to the time, but I think it's good that we remember at this Christmas time that Jesus came at exactly the right time. Scripture tells us this. Point number one, Jesus came at exactly the right time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, when it says that the fullness of time, you know what that means? At exactly the right time. Do you know that Isaiah in the Bible in the Old Testament prophesied some 700 years earlier that the Messiah was coming? But God waited. He orchestrated everything around the birth of Jesus such that Jesus was born at exactly the right time. Not one day early, not one day late. You say, preacher, why do we celebrate December 25th? Well, it's just a good day to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We don't know what day he was born on. But do you know the day that he came to this earth was exactly the right time for Jesus as the Son of God and God himself to come to this earth? Now, have you ever heard those stories about, usually it's about a couple that they got together and some, you know, they just happened to cross paths at a certain time. And you're like, man, if we hadn't have been there right at that certain time, guess what? You know, our story was at a missions conference over in Kentucky. You know, we both were there. God orchestrated all that and I knew she was the one for me, and I think she still thinks I'm the one for her. And you know, when you get together like that, it's like, wow, if that had been a little bit earlier or a little bit later, it wouldn't have worked out. You see, the God of the universe orchestrated the exact day, the exact moment that Jesus was supposed to be born. You know, we use the expression sometimes, now that was perfect timing. Can I tell you that there was no better perfect timing, if you will, than the timing that God sent Jesus to this earth? Do any of y'all ever know anyone who are habitually late? Yeah, there's some that God love him. He's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. He goes to my home church, and I really, if he ever shows up on time, it's because there's a mix-up somewhere in setting the clock forward or backward or something. We always joked, he lives out Saturday Road, and I said, man, you guys live, see, we're really brilliant down in the southern part of the state. We got Saturday Road, we got Sunday Road, and you go from Saturday into Sunday. Aren't we brilliant down in the southern part of the state? But we always joked that if he ever does make it in time, you must be, you over in Saturday Road, well, something must have happened, because typically y'all are in a different time zone than we are here at the church. But some people are habitually late. Some people are habitually early. You know, there's nothing wrong with being early, but some people always. But can I tell you that God was perfectly on time when he sent Jesus to this earth some 2,000 years ago. But notice, not only when the fullness of time was come, but notice also, it says in that verse, God sent forth his Son. You know, it reminds me of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse in John says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God initiated, sent his Son Jesus. Here it says that God sent forth his Son. And can I tell you that God did not have to send his Son to this earth? But he did it because he loves us at exactly the right time. So it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. And notice this. Made of a woman made under the law. Do you realize that Jesus was born of Mary? That which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. And the angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And it says, made under the law. Well, the law was still in effect. Can I tell you, it's one thing to say, well, you know, Jesus came to this earth. You know, he could have come in a palace, right? I mean, he could have come as a fully grown adult, right? And said, okay, I'm going to set up my kingdom. That would have been one thing. But to humble himself as a baby, to be born in a stable, to be placed in a manger, made of a woman? Wow. I mean, that's something, isn't it? I'm thankful that God sent him, and I'm thankful that Jesus came at exactly the right time. Sent by the Father, I'm glad that he came at exactly the right time. It says, made of a woman, made under the law. One more thing about that. I want to look at why he came. Notice it says, to redeem them that were under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. You say, why did Jesus come? To redeem means to buy back or to ransom. Figuratively, I'm having a way with words today. Figuratively, to rescue from loss. So Jesus came to rescue us or to buy us back from sin and death and hell. Now you think about that for a moment. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to redeem us back from those effects? Without Jesus, where would we spend eternity? Where would we be? Where would our hope be? It would not be heaven, but it would be hell. I'm glad that Jesus came for two reasons. And it also says, after that, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you realize that when we trust Jesus as Savior, we become a child of God? You know why we go around and say, well, this is brother so-and-so and this is sister so-and-so? We're brothers and sisters in Christ because we have the same heavenly Father for all that have called upon Him in salvation. I'm thankful for that. How about you? Aren't you thankful that we've been adopted into the family of God when we are saved? I'm thankful today as I think about Christmas that Jesus came at exactly the right time. Point number two, for the saved, it's a time to rejoice. For the saved, now come on, y'all don't look too rejoicing out there. I don't know what's going on here. For the saved, it's a time for us to rejoice. If anybody ought to be excited about Christmas, it ought to be a child of God. Because the meaning of Christmas goes a whole lot deeper than you give me what I want for Christmas, or I'm not going to be happy. I tell you, it goes a whole lot deeper for a Christian because Jesus came for us. And what expression could I use? It ought to crank your clock. It ought to light your fuse. It ought to do something for a Christian to say, I am so thankful. I have joy this time of year. Now, I realize, as we've already alluded to earlier, that some folks, it's a difficult time. Usually when you lose a loved one through the year, and then you approach the high, I understand all that. But I'm talking about long term. On the inside, we ought to be rejoicing. Do you know that last part of the kids' Christmas program? He said, you know, stand and basically proclaim the joy that Jesus brings. You know, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, what did the angel say? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm thankful that because I know Jesus, I can rejoice at this time of year. You know, can I tell you that our Christmas plans may not quite work out the way we think they should? Has that ever happened? I mean, you're going for little Junior's perfect gift or something, and it's sold out. You have planned this perfect activity with everybody, you know, and it doesn't work out because people's schedule just won't allow it. You have planned the perfect meal, and guess what? You done went and burned the turkey. You know, sometimes things just don't work out the way they should. But on the inside, when I think of Jesus coming to this earth, it ought to bring me joy. Now, I really enjoy Christmas. There's not too much about Christmas other than the overemphasis on materialism that I don't like. I like the carols. I like the mood of Christmas. I like the decorations of Christmas. I like my two buddy trees. You know, I just like about everything about Christmas. I like Christmas movies. Part of that, I believe, is because for me it's a joyous time of year because Jesus came. And as we talked about, He came at exactly the right time to buy me back from sin by His death on the cross. He came at exactly the right time to adopt me into His family. And for the saved, it's a time to rejoice. You know, also it's a time for the saved to look at their life and say, am I in full obedience to the Lord? Because speaking of joy, John chapter 15 verse 11, as Jesus talked to His disciples just before the crucifixion and then resurrection, He says this, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So you may be there today, you know, say, preacher, you're talking about all this joy thing. All right, I kind of like Christmas. All right, a little bit. But on the inside, there's not much joy. And I know Jesus, so where's that joy at? Can I submit to you and suggest that perhaps it's not full joy in your heart because you're not doing what Jesus says to do? You got to do it His way to have that full joy according to the Scripture. I'm thankful that Jesus came at exactly the right time. Secondly, for the saved, it's a time to rejoice. Thirdly, and lastly, that word you'd like to hear. Lastly, third, for the lost or for the unsaved, it's the time to be saved. It's the time to be saved. You know, I like John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, But listen to this. You know, a lot of people think God is just some cosmic killjoy up there that wants to ruin all of our joy, wants us to be miserable. Can I tell you, you have got the wrong picture of God. Because right after John 3:16, that God loved us so much, he sent Jesus for us. It says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. But listen to this. But that the world through him might be saved. My goodness. What a loving God we have. What a Savior we have. I'm thankful that Jesus came for the lost to be saved. For the lost or for the unsaved, it is the time to be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, the last part is what I emphasize, about halfway through there. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, for the lost or the unsaved, it is time to be saved. You know, I know of no better time than Christmas 2023. I know of no better time than right now to nail down your salvation. You know, the Bible says today. And why does it say today? Because you have no promise of tomorrow. I mean, we don't have any idea what tomorrow holds. I wish I could figure out what's going to happen tomorrow sometime. Don't you? It'd probably make us miserable. We'd worry about it, so it's good we don't. But sometimes we want to know what's going to happen. But can I tell you, no human will know what's going to happen. But God knows everything. And God in his book and in the wisdom of his book is saying, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. If you're here today and you're lost, today is the day. Don't put it off anymore. Don't say, well, maybe later, maybe later, maybe another time, because that time may never come. And if you leave this world without trusting Jesus as your Savior, I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. If you leave this world without trusting Jesus first, before you breathe your last, you will spend an eternity in a place called hell. And can I tell you that that place that you'll spend eternity was not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But unless you trust him, unless you nail that down. You say, preacher, I go to church quite often. Well, God bless your heart. That's a good thing to do. But just going to church doesn't save you. You know, some people might say, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. And I don't doubt that. If you think you're a pretty good person, you're probably a pretty good person. But I'm reminded the Bible says that our righteousness is really filthy rags. You know, it's really nothing to brag about. But doing good things is a good thing, but you cannot do enough good to make it to heaven. You have to trust Jesus. Some people say, it's amazing how many people I've asked and said, well, have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Are you a Christian? And they say, I was baptized. That's not the same thing. Now, baptism should follow salvation, but it's not the same thing. So some people would say, well, I'm baptized. I'm okay. Can I tell you that just baptism by itself, you're not okay. All you did was get wet. If you didn't trust Jesus before that. Can I tell you today, it's time for folks to wake up. If you're there today and you say, you know what, I'm not sure I'm saved. Today is the day to nail it down. You say, preacher, what will people think? I wouldn't give anything to worry about what people think. Just forget it. Just do what God has laid upon your heart. Get saved today. Nail it down, because it's better to nail it down now than to try to wait till later and die before you get it taken care of. I think everybody here could probably relate to the idea. I mean, we probably got a list. I don't even make lists. It's too scary. I got too many things to do, but sometimes I do if it gets a little bit burdensome. But I'm talking about, you know, personal things and church things and all. I mean, it would be probably about like that. But guess what? Most of the time we say, well, I didn't quite get to that. I didn't quite get to that. Hadn't had time for that yet. You know what? That's not a good idea when it comes to salvation. Take care of that first. Take care of that today. I really believe that probably there's at least one person here today. And I wouldn't doubt if there's not, that there's a question mark when I say, are you saved? There's a question mark. Man, you're living, you're living in borrowed time. If you're sitting there thinking, I'm probably saved. I might be saved. I'm really not sure if I'm saved. I'd encourage you. We're going to sing a song here in a little bit. I'd encourage you to come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. People around you, they're not going to question and doubt and wonder and say, I don't know, why'd they come forward? They're going to say, praise the Lord, they nailed it down. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's talking about calling out to the Lord in salvation and meaning it from your heart. Say, Lord, I need to be saved. I admit I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was your son, born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, who lived a perfect life, who died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And I now confess Jesus as my Savior. If you mean that from your heart, when you call out to the Lord, you can be saved. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. What matters is the present. Nail it down. You say, preacher, you don't know what lifestyle I'm involved in right now. I don't care what lifestyle you're involved in right now. God can save you right now and get you out of that lifestyle. Sometimes we think, I got to get this in order. When I do this and I quit doing that and I quit cussing, I quit smoking, I quit doing this and this and this and this, that's when I'll get saved. You got it backwards. You get saved and then God helps you get past all those things. Talking about time today. Number one, Jesus came at exactly the right time to redeem us, to buy us back from sin and hell and death. Jesus came at exactly the right time to adopt us. You know, I'm a child of God. I don't have to be ashamed of that. I can stand up firmly. Now, am I worthy? Not in the least. But I'm thankful that he has taken me into his family anyway. He came at exactly the right time to redeem us and to adopt us. Second, for the saved, it's a time to rejoice. Rejoice. And if you look at your life and you say, well, there's not a whole lot of joy in my life. Perhaps, just perhaps. You say, I know I'm saved, but there's not much joy. Perhaps it's because you're not doing things God's way according to his book. I'd encourage you, as we sing here in a moment, you say, you know what? I want to have more joy. I'm saved, but I just don't have much joy. Maybe it's because you're not doing it God's way according to his book. Maybe you should come forward and say, Lord, I need to do it your way more. I want more joy in my heart and in my life. And get right with the Lord today. You can do that. You don't talk to me. I'll be down there somewhere. You can totally ignore me. That's perfectly fine. Go to your spot at the altar and say, Lord, I want more joy. I want to do it your way. I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. But then again, lastly, today, not only did Jesus come at exactly the right time, not only for the saved, it's a time to rejoice, but thirdly, for the lost or unsaved, it's a time to be saved. We're going to sing a song, Oh Come All You Faithful. We're going to sing it. We're going to sing, Oh Come All You Faithful, here in just a moment. And if you're here and there's any doubt at all about whether you're saved or not, man, don't put it off. I'm going to be standing down here. You come down as a preacher. I want to get saved. I can talk to you. I'll try to answer any questions you got. We can look at Scripture. You can pray to the Lord. You can leave this place saying, you know what? I got saved. Christmas 2023, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful that the salvation that God offers in his book is not a hope so, maybe so, think so salvation. It's a no so salvation. I'm thankful for that. Aren't you? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. You know, it's easy to listen to a message and think it applies to everybody else. But let me ask you the question. As your head is bowed before the Lord right now, was the message for your heart today? Are you here as a Christian? And you say, I know I'm saved, but this joy you talk about, this inner joy and this satisfaction that God gives, I'm just not really feeling it right now. I'm not experiencing it. Let me ask you a question. Now, sometimes life beats us down, and it's because of the things of life we have a hard time pulling that joy out. But let me ask you, sometimes it's because we're just not doing what God wants us to do. As we sing here in just a moment, maybe God will speak to your heart and you have the boldness to come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to do what I know to do is right. Let me ask you a second question. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, are you here today and you're one of those people that when I talk about salvation, you're like, I'm really not sure. Today's the day of salvation. It's a perfect time to be saved. Would you step out here just a moment as we sing and say, Preacher, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you that Jesus came at exactly the right time. I thank you for the saved. It's a time to rejoice. And Lord, I thank you for the lost, that it's time to be saved today. I pray that you'll move in a big way, in a mighty way in our hearts and in our lives. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Lord, even spark revival in our hearts and in our lives and in our church today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amy, the page number is?
130.
Page 130. If you'd stand and sing, and if God has spoken to your heart, would you respond today? Just listen to the Lord. It's all I want you to do. Just listen to the Lord. This verse. I don't know if that is that quite right or did it jump around? Can we go back to verse 1? We'll sing it one more time. It's kind of, I was trying to think. I don't think those words go. I don't think I've ever sung that before. That's all right. That's all right. Let's sing. Oh, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Oh, come. And minds are clear. You had ample opportunity to respond if God was speaking to you. I hope you understand that when God speaks to your heart and you say nothing and you don't move, it's a no. It really is. You say, well, I can pray in my heart. I know you can, and I'm not really counting that, but I'm saying when God tells you to go to the altar and you don't go to the altar, you're saying no to God. I'm forever perplexed. If you can give me any ideas why people don't respond to the altar, I don't get it. If I was in the seat many times, I'd be at this altar. You'd probably get so tired of seeing me at the altar, you're like, there goes that delay guy again to the altar. So I don't really understand people that don't come to the altar because God speaks to my heart all the time. And if I wasn't leading the service, I'd be there. Sometimes I am anyway. But I appreciate you coming, appreciate the kids program, and you you be sure to tell them you appreciate the kids and appreciate Marcus and Marta and the work they do. And I got a memory prompt for you this week, all right? What I want you to do, how many of you have an old-fashioned watch? Just a plain old watch. God bless the two of your hearts. No, there's more than that. But, it's just a plain old watch. And how many of you have an electronic watch of some sort? Like I know what it's called. It's just left my brain. Apple Watch. Okay, how many of you use your phone as your main time teller anymore? Okay, a lot do that. How many of you have a wall clock? Okay, so regardless of whichever one of those this week you look at, all right, if you're a Christian and you look at the watch, I want you to remember it's time for me to rejoice because Jesus came at exactly the right time. And just say, you know what, I just need to rejoice because there's going to be times during the typical Christmas season that's a little hectic. You know, like, man, I don't know if I really want. I'm really tired, and I got to do this. And just if you look at your watch, you think, you know what? I need to rejoice because Jesus came. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, when you look at that timepiece, whatever form it might be in, I want you to think about it. Isn't it time for me to be saved? Isn't it time for me to be saved?